Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, joined by my colleagues Bill Roggio and Tom Joslin, both senior fellows at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, keeping the Long War Journal, the story of this vast canvas and the jihadists over it from the Hindu Kush to the Mediterranean and on to Africa and on to South America. But Afghanistan is the story. So I begin with headlines in these last days out of Afghanistan. President Ghani, after 3 days of talks with the Taliban, he indicates that the solution is in Pakistan. It's in Pakistan's hands, says Mr. Ghani. Europe needs to get Pakistan on board with the settlement. At the same time, the Hazaras, who are a minority in Afghanistan, are pleading with outside authority, the U.S., Europe, whoever will listen, that when and if the U.S. and its allies withdraw from Afghanistan, they are exposed to the violence of the Taliban, as witnessed recently by the attack on the school in Kabul. We also have a three-day ceasefire ending in Afghanistan with violent attacks, all claimed by the Islamic State, which is a complication that is a bridge too far for the negotiators in Kabul right now. But the attacks are across the country. However, there's said to be very heavy fighting in Helmand province. I go immediately to Bill Roggio because he has posted, and I recommend to you all watching Afghanistan, a map of Afghanistan and the provinces that are either in Taliban control or under stress because of the Taliban. And it very much looks like a boa constrictor has wrapped itself around Kabul in central Afghanistan and is squeezing it, not very slowly anymore. Bill, a very good evening to you. The Taliban control is accelerating, but as you've made very clear these last weeks of reporting, this is not a new offensive. This is business as usual. Where are you watching, Bill, to see the Taliban's most recent moves against the Afghan National Army? Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. And before I get to that, I'm just going to really quickly mention. So the Taliban, when I started this in 2014, we were able to determine a small number of districts controlled and contested. By the time we were able to really get the data normalized or get it under control around 2017-18, the Taliban, in January 2018, the Taliban controlled, according to my estimations, about the 45 of the 407 districts, about 11% of them, and another 29%, that's 117 districts, were contested. Today, that's 87 districts controlled and 214 contested. So those numbers have doubled. And that's happened over just incremental Taliban gains over time have just accumulated into 70% of the country contested or controlled. You're right. I mean, it looks like a snake gripping its prey. That's what the Taliban is absolutely doing. Of course, the places to watch, the place that I'm watching right now is the South. The Taliban is poised to take control of the South once the U.S. leaves. The U.S. just evacuated Kandahar airfield. So the U.S. is going to be hard pressed to launch operations to stop the Taliban from overrunning the provincial capitals, Lashkargah and Helmand, Kandahar, Ghazni and city in Ghazni. I think they're all very ripe to fall to the Taliban. But that's not the only area. When you look at the map, the Taliban's controlled and contested areas in the north is something that should really worry the Afghan government. Because if the Afghan government at some point is going to have to consolidate its presence in Afghanistan and decide where it wants to make a stand. And it has a better chance of making a stand in the center and the north, back to the days of the old Northern Alliance, than it does in the heavily posthumous areas of the south. But the problem is that the Taliban have appealed to Tajik and Uzbek, and even in some isolated case, some Hazara groups. And that's why they've extended their control in the north. And that's the Taliban have sort of co-opted these jihadist groups and made their jihad appealing to these groups. And that's what we're seeing in the north. So yeah, I'm looking at the south and north, and of course, always the east. The Taliban is lurking there. What I think, and I'm working on an article on this that hopefully I'll have up this week, is that, I think the Taliban is basically the premises of their offensive. They're going to try and take control of the south, or probably in conjunction with the east, and then make a press for Kabul. They already have control in contested areas in Wardak and Logar provinces. That's another key area we should all be keeping an eye on. These are two provinces that are right outside Kabul, and the Taliban controls and contests more than half of, actually it's like 75% of the districts in both of those provinces. So they're poised to make an attack on Kabul if they could secure the south and the east in short order.
And a detail, Bill, when you say contested, what does that mean about the Afghan National Army? Does that mean it still has posts in the region or counterattacks or launches operations? What is contested?
Yeah, contested could mean, some in a lot of these districts, the government only controls the district center. Think of it as the county seat here in the United States, but all of the areas surrounding are under the control of the Taliban. Sometimes a contested district could be like the Taliban controls half the villages. Sometimes these districts flip hands so many times that I consider them districts like that, just to pretty much to be Taliban controlled because the Afghan government cannot control those areas. And sometimes just the attack level, while the government might control district centers and the district center and large areas, the Taliban presence is just strong enough. The violence is so high that it's just not government controlled at all.
Tom, you're... Go ahead.
Just one more point. Sometimes the most peaceful areas in Afghanistan are the ones that are fully under Taliban control.
Fully under Taliban control, and that is logical given where they're headed, and that leads to my turning to Tom, because he's posted a piece about the Taliban leader boasting or promising or indicating that Afghanistan will be secure once the Taliban takes hold of this. Who is his audience for this, Tom, given the level of violence that Bill just illustrated and the threats to the people of Kabul? Who was he talking to? Good evening to you, Tom.
Good evening, John. Well, he's talking first and foremost to the people of Afghanistan, who he plans to rule over in the coming months. This message was distributed in a number of languages, not just in English on the main Taliban website, but also across the entire country of Afghanistan. And it was clearly the Habibullah Akhundzada, the emir of the Taliban, was, once again setting the stage for the return of the Islamic Emirate, which is the Taliban's totalitarian regime, which is supported by Al-Qaeda and like-minded jihadists. And, the interesting thing about this, you pointed out, John, how Ashraf Ghani, the president of Afghanistan, was saying that the fate of Afghanistan is in the hands of Pakistan. And I think that is one of the many ways it points to an imbalance here. The Taliban, of course, has enjoyed the safe haven, safe harbor, facilitation and support of the Pakistani military intelligence establishment for many years. With the U.S. and NATO forces withdrawing from Afghanistan, the government of Afghanistan has no such regional sponsor, has no such backer to keep it going in the fight. Certainly none of the regional governments around it are going to prop it up against the Pakistani Taliban and Al-Qaeda sort of onslaught, which is coming. And what's interesting about that, too, is that the Pakistani establishment has not made any real noises about rejecting Habibullah Akhundzada's right to rule over Afghanistan as the Taliban emir. So, the thing that Bill and I have documented for so many years, and that for some reason a lot of people in Washington can't get into their heads, is the Taliban isn't fighting for some sort of political reconciliation. They aren't fighting for some sort of political settlement or compromise with the Afghan government. They're fighting to rule, and this statement is just the latest example of that.
And when we look at Ghani looking to Pakistan, is he anticipating that Pakistan will in some way support him against the Taliban, which is paradoxical, but is that why he is pointing to Pakistan? It's almost as if he doesn't want, as if he's blame shifting already, as if he's already in retreat.
Yeah, I think it's an act of desperation. I think you see a series of acts of desperation here by both the U.S. and the Afghan government. I think when you go back to the history of how the Taliban took over Afghanistan in the 1990s, there's a wealth of evidence that the Pakistani, army and intelligence services played a very significant role in allowing the Taliban, and not just allowing, but actively supporting and helping the Taliban do that. And I think this is sort of a desperate cry for help by Ghani to basically the Pakistani establishment to try and keep the hounds on the leash here in the coming months. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think that's really what the Pakistani establishment has in mind. The bottom line is that they helped build this jihadi Frankenstein to take over territory and to win in Afghanistan. Again, I don't think they're going to do anything to put the brakes on that at this point.
I'm speaking to Tom Joslin and Bill Raggio. They are senior fellows at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. They keep the Long War Journal, this vast landscape. We're focusing on Afghanistan because these are the countdown days for the U.S. leaving its military footprint in Afghanistan, certainly turning over the Kandahar airfield to the Afghan National Army is a significant change of the last 20 years. However, there is another player in Afghanistan now, not participating in peace talks, not lining up with the Taliban or anyone outside actors, to my knowledge. That's ISIS. And when we come back, that recent bombing of the school in Kabul that killed over 60 people, that was a school associated entirely with the Shia Hazara community of Afghanistan, a minority within Afghanistan. And the Taliban has said, we didn't do it. Who did it? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.